Testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay, it's 10, huh? We can prepare for puja, huh? Yeah, evening, yeah. So after 2 or 3 weeks, we haven't had any class. Today is our first session after my Perth and Melbourne trip, So I wish you all, having good cultivation when I'm not around. So tonight, maybe if there's condition, we can discuss about cultivation practice. This topic is very useful, and you need to understand this very clearly, otherwise very easy to lose the way and deviate. Okay, tonight, Sian, who is supposed to light the candle and the incense? Oh, yeah. come, yeah. Oh, sounds right. Off the fan, so the rest of us, we can stand, get ready for puja. Hey, sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we can start off by offering the tray. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Just offer on the table. Sadhu, 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 sadhu. Okay, thank you. You can visit that and we can start the puja. Okay, compose your mind, develop the faith, sadhu, virya, then mindfully we shall pay respect by chanting the salutation to the Triple Gem. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savakasangho Sanghang Namami. Okay, you can visit that. Then the page one of the chanting book. Then we will start the chanting. We will start off with the Namo Tassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Sama Sambuddhasa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adinadana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Kamesu Michachara Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Usawada Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Suramiraya Majapamadatana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Now we will chant the Padipa Puja, offering of light. Ganna sarapa ditena, ditena tamadang sina, tiloka dipang sambudang, tujayami tamonudang, Kanda Samba Rayutena Dupena Hang Sugang Hina Pujaye Pujaniyang Thang Puja Bajana Mutamang Vanna Ganda Guno Petang Etang Kasuma Santatin Pujayami Monindas Siri Pada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kusumena Nena Punnena Matena Cha Hotu Mokang Pupamilayati Yatta Idang Me Kayo Tata Yati Vina Sabawang Adivase Tuno Bante Paniyang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigang Hatu Mutamang Paniyase Tuno Bante Pale Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigang Hatu Mutamang Adivase Tuno Bante Bojanang Parikapitang Anukampang Upadaya Patigang Hatu Mutamang. Now we will make the inspiration based on our understanding of the significance of this puja offering. Significance of offering of light. May this offering of light to the Buddha brings forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Significance of offering of water. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses out the fire of all defilements within our mind. Significance of offering of incense. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Significance of offering of fruits. May this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruit of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition as soon as possible. Significance of offering of flower. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate liberation, the bond-free nibbana, making of overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits born of this offering, may our spiritual faculties of sada, virya, sati, samadhi, and panya be further strengthened until they become balas or powers, sharing and transfer merits to all beings. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings, exception, especially to those who have the conditions and affinity to receive them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Tripa Jam. Buddhang Pujayami. Dhammang Pujayami. Sanghang Pujayami. Okay, you can be seated. Oh, very good. yeah. No need. I can read from here. It's okay. Oh, Suyan has done this. Very good. So this was what was on the... What? Yeah. Better. Go and photostat. you will have a copy of what we discussed the few weeks before I left for Perth and Melbourne, our spiritual trip. This one are the essential Dhamma that we came out with. They are essentially 10. Then they arise from the advice of the Buddhas. So this essential Dhamma are the basis of cultivation. That's why tonight I want to touch on cultivation, because I realize a lot of cultivators cannot penetrate the Dhamma because they didn't understand the essential Dhamma. They don't know what is essential to their cultivation. They get themselves entangled with too many of this so-called norm, where people attach and cling on to methods and techniques of meditation. Then they cling on to the word of vipassana, samatha, jhana, jnana, and all those fantastic words. Then they got a lot of views and opinions of how cultivation should be done. Yeah. All these are, to me, not the essential Dhamma, not important. The essential Dhamma, according to the Buddha, is you need to be heedful. Dhammapada verse 21. Heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedful never die, whereas heedlessness is the path to the dead. The heedless are as if dead. So spiritually, you don't stand a chance. So this is where you start, the Buddha said. You have to train your mind to be mindful, then stabilize it to be ever mindful. Then from there, you use it to cultivate the meditation as taught by the Buddha, which is essentially the Noble Eightfold Path. When you do that, it becomes heedfulness, as defined by Dhammapada verse 23. The constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one will realize the supreme, born-free Nibbana. Means, if you hold on to this quality of mind, which is heedfulness or apamada, you are destined for enlightenment. You will realize Nibbana. So it's written up there. Maybe I just spend some time going through before you meditate. It will help you. So look here. Yeah? This has been on the whiteboard for quite a while, I think, many years. Apamadena, or apamada. Is it M-A or M-E? M-A or M-E, English. No, apamada. M-A, sorry. Yeah, the sound is not like correct. So it's M-A, apamada. This is the most important mind factor or mind state that you need to cultivate the Buddha's essential Dhamma. Apamada, the Pali word, means heedfulness. To be heedful means ever mindful, to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, leading to all the wisdom. And this is what heedfulness is all about. This one comes from Dhammapada verse 23. And to be heedful, you have to be mindful. So according to the Buddha, the next category of essential Dhamma that you have to understand is the 5 spiritual faculty and the 5 mental hindrance. The Buddha explained very clearly the reason why living beings' minds are not peaceful. They cannot meditate. They cannot develop the inner peace leading to the awareness within to meditate. It's because they have these 5 mental hindrances that hinders your mind from becoming peaceful. That's why they are called mental hindrances. Eh? We used to have that 5 up here, but I don't know where Suyan put it. Eh? It's in the plastic prepared by Padma Suri, I think. Yeah, it's there. Yeah. Good. No, underneath, the next 2, yes. Thank you. Yeah, just leave it. Yeah. So these are the 5 spiritual faculty. Then these are the five mental hindrances. Just for revision, when you have this mental hindrance, it will hinder your mind from becoming peaceful and developing the inner awareness, which is the meditative state. So what are they? They are your sensual desire and ill will that you constantly arise throughout the day when you perceive something through your consciousness. When you see something, hear something, smell, taste, tactile, feel or think, you react to sense experience. That's why your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience. These are the mental hindrances. That's how it makes you heedless. You constantly arise this until it becomes habitual tendency. What will happen? Means throughout the day you are arising mental hindrance. That's why you got no peace. Your mind cannot be peaceful because this will hinder you from becoming peaceful. And you are so preoccupied with your stirring of your mind, reaction to sense experience. Your sensual desire and ill will, which are part of the evil roots of greed and hatred, they keep on arising. Not until you have the essential Dhamma understood, the mind trained and cultivated, this hindrance will be there. Then the Buddha also explained, the third mental hindrance is lethargic mind. When you cannot understand his teaching, you don't see the importance of cultivating this teaching or this Dhamma. Then you become sleepy when you try to meditate or when you attend Dhamma session. So the third mental hindrance is lethargic mind, sloth and torpor, sleepy mind. The fourth one is, of course, restlessness. When you don't keep your precept, when you violate the nature's law of karma, moral causation, it will lead to problem. When you kill, you harm. When you lie, deceive, or cheat, or commit sexual misconduct, then when you speak harshly, when you do all those things that are not in accordance, like partake intoxicant and drug, what will happen is you will commit evil, because when you violate this precept, the evil roots are there. That's how you fall, your karma will fall. Then the nature's law will hit back. Because when you do all this, we are violating your precept, you will have a lot of enemy, you will have a lot of fear, a lot of worry, a lot of anxiety. Then when you confront the first noble truth reality of the eighth reality, you will also have problem. You worry about your health, you worry about your physical body getting old and sick, then one day may die. Then you worry about your relationship with people, your whatever life-related problem, like financial problem, career problem, and all the other life-related attachment and problem. Then that will make your mind restless. It has no peace. That's why this is a mental hindrance. When you don't keep your precept, when sila is not there, your mind lacks the essential peacefulness that you need to meditate. That's why the Buddha said, precept is the source of spiritual peacefulness, spiritual wealth, and spiritual joy. So without precept, restlessness will take over. Then doubt is when you don't understand his teaching, when you don't have a clarity of what he is teaching, and when you don't have faith in him and his teaching because you cannot understand his teaching, then you start to doubt many things. That's how your mind becomes weak. When you have doubt, you don't have confidence in yourself. You are not calm, not peaceful. Your mind is not composed. So this mental hindrance, the Buddha said, they are very, very strong in normal living beings' mind. That's why most people, they are not peaceful. They have problems because of mental hindrance. It hinders their mind from becoming peaceful, from developing the inner peace and the inner mindfulness or awareness you can offer that to the author. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Let us rejoice. Eh? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Eh? Then to overcome this, the Buddha said, you have to cultivate the opposite five. They are called the spiritual faculties. These are spiritual faculties that can allow you to understand spiritual teaching. And the first one is, you must have faith, not only in yourself, in the Buddha, in his teaching, to knowing very clearly who the Buddha is, how wise he is, how virtuous he is, how special a being he is, and how wonderful that teaching is. It not only can help you improve your life, it can develop the enlightenment, the awakening in you, so that you don't have to become deluded anymore, so that you will not be fooled by the phenomenal world, so that you will not attach and cling and grasp to arise your mental suffering, so that your mind can be liberated. Then you are free from suffering. That's what enlightenment is all about. The mind awaken and liberate, no longer have to suffer and become afflicted. Then life become beautiful, meaningful. So spiritual faculty, especially sadha, is very useful. Then when you understand that the teaching is so important, it can transform your life. It can bring about tremendous benefit to your life. Then it can also awaken you so that you can become a blessing to all of humanity and mankind. So when you understand that this teaching plays such a great role in developing the clear understanding to live life, you will definitely arise the second spiritual faculty of virya, to strive on, to develop the spiritual zeal, to strive on with heedfulness to cultivate this teaching. That zeal or spiritual tenacity to walk this way will arise because you see the importance of this cultivation. Without this, living being will fall. Living being will suffer, become miserable, afflicted as they go through life, as they confront the realities of life and existence. Then, in order to cultivate, the Buddha said, you must be heedful, like just now we went through. To be heedful, you must be mindful. To be mindful, you must be silent, aware, without thought. Means awareness before the knowing. So you try to anchor your mind to the present moment, activity, movement. That's why you start with kaya nupassana. Anchor your mind to kaya. All method technique, they are skillful means to anchor the mind, to train the mind so that it is centered. It is not heedlessly lost in thought. So they need an object of meditation, a method or a technique to anchor this mind so that this mind is not heedless, so that they develop mindfulness on this object of meditation. This is to develop sati or mindfulness. But meditators are not told about this. It was not explained to them. That's why they deludedly and gullibly attach and cling on to method and technique, thinking that that is meditation. No. Method, technique, and object of meditation, they never define the meditation. They are skillful means to train the mind, to anchor the mind, to develop sati. That's it. Then you have to stabilize this. After you stabilize, technically, you don't need the method, the technique, or the object of meditation. It's like swimming. Initially, maybe you depend on the float to stay afloat, then you can swim. But after you know how to swim, if you still hold on to the float, you will not understand the true swimming. That's why you have to relinquish that float. You have to do away with it. Not until you can float and swim without float. That is the real swimming. Then you will experience the real silent mind, the meditative mind, the mind that has no dwelling and yet it is peaceful. And that is sati. Then when you stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. Samadhi is the collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. When your mind has sati and samadhi, it has no thought. It does not stir. It does not waver. It is collected. That's why you can see things as they are, direct seeing, direct knowledge and vision of the reality, leading to wisdom, awakening, insight into the characteristics of nature, impermanent, suffering state, and non-self, or anicca, dukkha, anatta. So basically, when the spiritual faculty fall into place, the hindrances are wiped off. So all of the cultivations start from this essential Dhamma understanding. That's why later on we will photostat this one and give it to you. Then how to train the spiritual faculty is very important, isn't it? True or not? Without spiritual faculty, the hindrance is powerful. So how to train this one? Eh? How to train your spiritual faculty? What must you do? Eh? Ah, significant of puja. That's why you must do your puja diligently. When you come to your classes, pre-puja, post-puja, when you go to temple, then at home, your religious routine, you must have your simple religious routine to develop the spiritual faculty through puja. So puja is a very skillful way that the Buddha has actually implemented. Then after that, you reflect and contemplate on the five daily contemplation. Then you realize the last contemplation talks about karma. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. We are what we are because of our karma. When you understand that karma plays such a great role in your life, what must you do? Yeah? You must take care of karma, isn't it? How do you take care of karma? You follow the advice of the Buddha to avoid all evil, to good, and purify the mind. How do you avoid evil? What constitutes evil? You must understand the next essential Dhamma, the three evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then when you understand what constitutes evil, then only you can avoid evil. And to see this evil root of greed, hatred, and delusion, you must also have mindfulness. Otherwise, you cannot see your mental intention behind all of your actions, speech, and thought. That's why mindfulness is a must, leading to heedfulness. So, in order to have mindfulness to see all this, then only you can keep your precepts. That's why every puja you renew your precept. The Buddha advises you to keep your precept. Those who violate their precept commit evil. Because we have already gone through, you check. Who are the ones who violate the five precepts? They are people with the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. That's why when you violate the precept, you become evil. Your karma will be affected. It will lead to downfall. Then, law of karma says you reap what you sow. You are born of your karma, heir to your karma, conditioned supported by your karma. And you are what you are because of karma. So every line your form and mind come, it will be subject to that law. If you don't train your mind to take care of karma by keeping your precept to avoid all evil, you will suffer. That's why you cannot blame anybody for whatever that happened in your life. All of your so-called bad luck, or in Hokkien they say sui, your bad luck, things that you don't want to have. It to happen, it keep on happening. So when you don't take care of karma, your life will become afflicted, affected. Then the other one is to understand the essential Dhamma of the Buddha, the Four Noble Truths, which we have gone through. Yeah? Then after that, you have the law of dependent origination, which is Paticca-samuppada. You have to reflect, contemplate, then be mindful to see how this link arises and pass away within your own form and mind. Then you go into the teaching, the cultivation of the four foundation of mindfulness. Then after that, the seven factors of enlightenment will arise. You will start to see them. You will start to be aware of them. If you are not on the right path, the factors of enlightenment will not be there. That's why you have to go through the seven stages of purification. As you purify, the factor of enlightenment will keep on arising. Then you will know what is path and what is non-path and all those things. Then when you cultivate the so-called meditation, you have to be careful of the 10 defilements of insight that will trap you. They are actually beautiful mind states that arise because you have cultivated quite well. But when you attach to them, it becomes defilement of insight. It prevents you from penetrating, proceeding, because you gullibly think you are already enlightened. And when you can see light, nimitta, you get very excited. When you experience peacefulness, calmness, you attach, cling, and you want to hold on to this state, not knowing that you meditate to realize the truth, to awaken to the universal characteristics of impermanent suffering state and delusion that has been deluding you, that has been trapping living beings through self-delusion. So when you come to the clear understanding, then you realize all this meditative experience or mind state that you come to experience, they are just byproduct of meditation. They arise because of condition. But as long as you cannot develop wisdom out of it, you are not doing meditation. You are actually developing what they call attachment to all this fantastic mind state, thinking that when you have this mind state, you are very peaceful, you are very calm, you are very different, very special. Then you associate it with progress, and you think you have enlightened, you have awakened. Then sometimes you experience what they call piti, sukha, leading to continuous mindfulness throughout the day. Then you become complacent. You start to read the book. Then like the book say, the arahant are ever mindful. Oh, so you think you already at least sotapan or sakadami. Then you become complacent. Then you start to develop the ego. Then sometimes you want to share, you want to teach. When you do that without clear understanding, then you get into trouble. Then that complacency will lead to defilement of insight, and you will be trapped. And this defilement of insight are very powerful, very, very powerful. And they are very strong mind state, especially those who do thought-based meditation, energy field. The first defilement of insight is, they call in Pali obasa, or nimitta, seeing light, seeing all this manifestation that arise in the mind. Then when you focus, concentrate, you can develop energy field, and you get very excited because it gives rise to a lot of things. Then you thought this is meditation. So this defilement of insight is something you have to be careful. Then the last one is, of course, the advice of the Buddha. We need to develop clearer understanding. We normally say, avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind. These are the advice of all the Buddha. Avoiding all evil, we can translate as precept. Correct, yeah? To avoid all evil, you have to cultivate precept in there. That's why the first advice is, the cultivation is to develop the precepts. That's why sila. Yeah. Without sila, you cannot move. That's why sila, when stabilized, it will give rise to the three benefits which the Buddha always talk about. The monk will always chant to you. Sīlena sukanti yanti, sīlena bhoga sampadan, sīlena nibbuddhi yanti. So the meaning is, sīlena means these precepts of virtue is the source of spiritual joy, the first one. The second one is spiritual peacefulness of mind, then the spiritual wealth. So when you have these three, your mind is ready for meditation. You must have joy, pity, enlightenment factor. You must have tranquility, peacefulness of mind without the hindrance. Then you can be aware. Otherwise, you cannot be aware. Then spiritual well means it will give you condition to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma. You will attend Dhamma class. You will straighten your view. You will develop more understanding. You will develop the understanding of the essential Dhamma. That's how you progress. Yeah. Then when this sila kick in, samadhi will take shape. That's why sila, samadhi, then panya, wisdom. Yeah. But the second advice is, avoid all evil, do good. Wherever there is condition to do, you must do. So that is the cultivation of virtue. So precept leading to the ennobler, which is cultivating virtue. Then the four right effort to abandon the unskillful action, speech and thought, and prevent them from arising. Then the right effort to cultivate whatever skillful action, speech and thought that are still not in you. Then the last right effort is to refine upon and perfect all these skillful action, speech and thought that you have developed. Then after that, you develop what they call true virtue via understanding the nature's law that governs life and existence. You will understand what constitutes evil. Then you will come to understand the absence of evil is good. You don't have to be good. So virtue will be there when you are mindful not to arise the evil root. When you are incapable of evil, you are automatically good. So you don't try to be good. Trying to be good is the thought. Good according to who, you never say. Good according to you may not be nature's law's truth or good. Then after precept, you develop virtue. Virtue, you have to follow Noble Eightfold Path. That's why we cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. We develop sati, heat, leading to heedfulness. The first six power factor from right view, you cultivate right thought, right speech, right action, then right livelihood, then the right effort, the four right effort. Then after this, you go into meditation. That's why the third advice is purify your mind. Then you go into the meditation. This is the seventh and eighth power factor of Noble Eightfold Path. That's why you cultivate four foundation of mindfulness. Then you insight into the characteristics of nature. Then you develop wisdom, right understanding to liberate and free your mind. That's why the advice of the Buddha will translate into precept, virtue, and meditation. And when you do this, you are heedful because heedfulness is ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. When you have Noble Eightfold Path, you avoid all evil. You are incapable of negativity. You are very noble in all aspects of life. The first Noble Eightfold Path factor is right understanding of life, right view with regards to the nature's law that governs life and existence. So all the spiritual law, law of karma, law of mind, law of dhamma, you will know. Means karma niyama, citta niyama, and dhamma niyama. Then even the scientific law, Uttu Niyama and Bija Niyama, you will also understand. Then when you have this right understanding, you will know how to live life. You will understand the secret of life. You will not violate this nature's law that governs life and existence. That's how all the essential Dhamma and the teaching of the Buddha come about, especially the first spiritual law of karma. Then from there, you will know how to cultivate right thought, right speech, right action. And you must understand what constitutes right thought, right speech, right action. That's why that cultivation is Noble Eightfold Path. And you must have mindfulness to do all this. Then the four right effort, constantly purifying your thought process, abandoning the unwholesome thought, wrong action and wrong speech. That later on, when you are mindful and you have better understanding, you can even be mindful of them before they arise. That's how you can prevent, right effort to prevent the arising of wrong thought, wrong speech, and wrong action. That is how the whole cultivation is to be develop. So understanding, then bring into practice. That's where the three phases of Dhamma comes in. Eh? There's another chant. This one is all in your heart sutta note. Eh? This one is where the three turning of the four noble truths. And also we have here the three phases of Dhamma, Pariyatti, Patipatti, and Pativeda. All of meditation center on this. So don't worry about what people tell you, method, technique, right and wrong. All these are not important. The important thing is, do I understand the essential Dhamma to start my cultivation? Whatever I do in the name of meditation, if I'm not training my mind to develop heedfulness, I am not doing the meditation as taught by the Buddha. And to be heedful, you must have spiritual faculty. Can follow, eh? If you are not cultivating spiritual faculty, you are not cultivating your mind. The hindrance will take over. So always remember, spiritual faculty leading to heedfulness. Can follow? Yeah? You forget about what people tell you, method, technique, vipassana, jhana, jnana. Forget about all those things because these are all thought-based and it will lead you astray. Then you are more concerned with right and wrong. Then you chase after method, technique, teacher, no use. The Buddha said, don't believe anybody. Investigate. Investigate into his essential teaching. Then when you understand, then you know how to start. All of meditation that don't start with a spiritual faculty cannot understand spiritual teaching. Why are they called spiritual faculty? Because these are spiritual faculty that can enable you to understand his spiritual teaching. And it can do that because it overcomes the mental hindrance. If the mental hindrance are not overcome, you cannot start. That's why the Buddha say, the heedless are as if dead. Because without the spiritual faculty, you cannot be mindful, you cannot be heedful. And without the essential Dhamma, you cannot cultivate Noble Eightfold Path. Yeah. So the cultivation is very simple. And always remember, wisdom liberate your mind, free you. Not all the fantastic meditation experience or fantastic mindfulness, concentration. A lot of people are trapped, even in the teaching, or even in one of the book, the top 10 disciples of the Buddha. Last time I shared the Tuesday class, you remember? One of them, I think Anuruddha, if I'm not wrong. She was trapped in all this, because she has this divine eye. He told Sariputta, he said, I have perfected my divine eye. I have perfected my mindfulness. Everything is perfect. But why am I still not awakened? Because of what? Because the mind that say, I am what and what and what. So this is where you can get trapped. Because these are not the essential Dhamma. The essential Dhamma is to develop heedfulness, relax, silent, just aware. Then it will be in a meditative state to insight into phenomena and awaken. Then it will understand that sakkayaditti will dissolve. You will be able to liberate the mind and awaken to the universal characteristics of impermanence, leading to suffering state when you want things your way. And because it's impermanent, it's not a permanent and changing entity, then you realize this one is dependent originating condition arising the form of mind. It's not you. That's how you break free from sakkayaditti, self-delusion, and the mind just liberate. Then it comes to understand that this form of mind is not you. The five aggregate of form of mind, they are chemically conditioned for you to use as a tool and a vehicle to live life, to experience life, to develop the cultivation, the perfection, and all those things, to come and experience the world. So all this understanding will fall into place if you don't attach do, method, technique, views, and opinion. So don't worry about what people tell you. Focus on the essential Dhamma. Understand how to start the cultivation. The focus is on spiritual faculty to overcome hindrance so that you can have mindfulness. Then after that, all the cultivation will fall into place. The essential Dhamma will be further step for you. Then constantly remind yourself. Always remember to ask this question, what am I doing in the name of meditation? When I say I am meditating, what are you doing? Now you start to understand. Most people in the past, they come, they sit. What do they look for? Peace of mind, calmness. They want to train the mind. Then they want to develop vipassana. But they don't know what to do. They just follow, gullible. People say note this, they note. People say note rising, falling, you note. Then people tell you note pain, 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 you note. Thinking, you note. Then intention to what? You do without understanding. Then even those who teach you anapanasati also same. You focus on the tip of the nostril. Focus on the feeling that arise. Then you concentrate. You focus. You go into one point. You go and do all those things. Because if you don't have this understanding, you will become gullible. Then meditation become very different from what the Buddha actually taught. That's why he said to develop mindfulness of in and out breath. He never say focus or concentrate. He say breathing in, away, breathing out, away. He never say focus. He never say not breathing in, not breathing out. He never say that. He just say aware. Means mind and that breath move as one in silent awareness without thought. So the training is very important. When you understand the essential teaching, you know what to do. Means you are here to train your mind to develop sati or mindfulness. If you need the skillful means to do, because your hindrances are still there, then you do. You can start with mind sweeping method. Remember? Mind sweeping method to decondition your heedless thinking so that this hindrance can be kept at bay. Then when you become more calm and more peaceful, you start with anapanasati or you combine with metta, means the inner peace that arises, leading to inner well-being. Then after that, you develop the silent mind through a skillful means to anchor the mind. It can be anapanasati or anything else. But this is not the meditation. This is the initial training. Initial skillful means to train your mind to be aware. Then stabilize it. But if your spiritual faculty is already there, very well developed, technically, you don't need to train. You don't need to do all those things. But human beings cannot. Well, most of them have this hindrance. The spiritual faculty are weak. That's why if you really want to progress, you should develop this spiritual faculty through your puja. Do it mindfully. Do it with understanding. Reflect and contemplate. Then daily mindfulness, starting from activity within your home, then extend it out. Then when your daily mindfulness falls into place, the spiritual faculty will be there. Then after that, meditation becomes easy. No need to train. You sit, the moment you sit, sati will come in. The mind is naturally relaxed, aware, silent. Straight away you go into the meditation. Then your silent mind will arise, pasati will arise, piti, sukha, leading to pasati, will arise by itself. That's why I come to realize during the early day, the moment I sit, I no need to do anything. My mind already still silent. It's like that. So understanding this is very important so that you can develop the cultivation accordingly, appropriately. Okay, any question? So far, any question? No question means you understand. Then we start our meditation. I will give you half an hour. 9 to 9:30. We are off the light. Then you can train your mind. And develop the meditation accordingly. So now you will understand why every time the Thursday class instruction is more or less the same. But you have to understand it so that when you do with understanding, meditation becomes very simple. Otherwise, it will continuously delude you to do the same thing over and over again without any sign of progress. Okay, you can start your meditation now. others still want to meditate, you can continue for the 7 hours slowly, mindfully, come out of meditation. Then we will proceed with our chanting. You can turn to page 6. We will do the invocation to the devas. I'll read to you all the English translation. Invocation to the devas. In this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good doctrine of the king of sage, which is heaven and released Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammā sambuddhassa. Iti piso bhagavā arahaṁ sammā sambuddho vijjā caraṇa sampanno sugato lokavido anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusana buddho bhagavatoi svakato bhagavata dhammo sanditiko akaliko ehi pasiko opanaiko pacatang veditabo vinohiti supatipanno bhagavato savakasango ujupatipanno bhagavato savakasango Nyaya patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Samichi patipanno bhagavato savaka sangho Yadidang chattari purisa yokani Atta purisa pugala Isa bhagavato savaka sangho Ahuneyo pahuneyo dakineyo anjali karaneyo Anuttaraṁ punyakitaṁ lokasati Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Give me pay respect to Paja. Bhutang Pujami. Dhammang Pujami. Sanghang Pujami. Okay, you can be seated. Then we will continue with our second session. Okay. Second session is reporting of meditation and Q&A. Yeah? You got any question and any meditation to report, you can. Yeah? We will now open up. Oh, the battery. Never mind. Okay, anybody wants to report meditation or ask any question, you put up a hand. After 2-3 weeks, still no question. Means all understood. Oh, very good news. No question means no problem. Anything you want to clarify or rest assured that you are developing the right understanding to develop the cultivation, you should ask, because this is very important. It can actually bring forth the condition for many people to develop the understanding together. I'm sure you got meditation to report in. How you develop it and whether you encounter any problem or situation. Or just now I was sharing how to develop the right understanding to cultivate the Buddha Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Do you have any question with regards to that sharing? Who was it? You raise your hand, then we pass you the mic. Anybody? As usual, no question. So what you want me to speak or share, you let me know. Yes. Can? Okay. You pass you. I lend you my mic.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. Actually, what I'm going to say is my family's little problem, I would say. My brother-in-law passed away in 2014. My mother passed away in 2015. My eldest brother just passed away a few weeks ago. With the Dhamma, it helps a lot to be able to take this news, okay? As I've already told my niece, my mother is already old. My brother has health problems. But my niece is finding it very difficult to accept. She is suddenly freaking out, you know, and saying, is there something wrong with the house? I'm sure a lot of us Chinese, you know, we believe in this sort of things, because we have just moved in about a year before my brother-in-law passed away. So perhaps Brother Teo would like to clarify a bit of this. And unfortunately, I received something that is even more disturbing today. She says that my two sisters who are living in the house with her have been hearing things, and she is more frightened. So perhaps Brother Teo would like to help me clarify this situation for all those present. Thank you.
Okay, thank you so much, PJ, for asking this very good question. I think this is a very typical society's problem. Once she had saw something very relevant, and it can help many people, especially those who don't have the understanding of the teaching, the Dhamma, so that they can at least understand what really happened. Then they don't do foolish things. Like PG, when he started, she said, because of the Dhamma understanding she has, she was able to develop the right understanding to accept all this reality of birth leading to old age, sickness and death. Now you start to witness that death is a reality, a certainty. Means sooner or later, like the Buddha said, whatever that is of the nature to arise is of the nature to pass. Whatever that is born will one day die. Where this is the reality of the human form and mind, the so-called human being or the living being. But what normal living being cannot understand is when separation or death occur, especially when it involves your loved one, like PG, they all experienced 2014, brother-in-law passed away. Then 2015, the mother passed away. Then 2016, this year, the elder brother passed away. Not only her case, Sui An also, when we are on the Perth trip or Melbourne trip, he shared about our classmate. Our classmate is even more traumatic. I think March or April, one passed away. Then April, another one passed away. See, no need to wait 1 year. Within 1 month, it happened. These are reality. You don't have the Dhamma, you don't develop the understanding through your cultivation, you will be afflicted. This is what the First Noble Truth is all about. The Buddha explained very clearly under the First Noble Truth of Dukkha, he said, there is this Noble Truth that explains clearly to the living beings the prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere in the midst of life and existence. And they arise because this is a reality. This is a certainty. So this First Noble Truth explained clearly to you that birth, old age, sickness and death, the first four reality, the Buddha said, these are realities that will happen. Do you like it or not? As you go through life, you say, each and every one of us, you have to confront this reality. You have to experience or witness birth. Then you have to experience or witness decay or getting old. Then, at the same time, disease, sickness, followed by death. When these realities hit, if you don't have right view, right understanding and wisdom to cope with this reality, all living beings, without exception, the Buddha said, they will suffer. That's why this is called the Noble Truth of Suffering. This reality, when it happens, it can lead to affliction, suffering, mental suffering, because of attachment, because of craving. This very subtle or very deep-rooted attachment, because we believe we exist. Likewise, our loved one exists. Our brothers, our sister, our parents, our good friends, even your kids, if you are married, and you have kids. Then all this attachment can bring forth the mental suffering that living beings have to confront. That's why you say the knees cannot accept this reality. So life is very fair. you got two choices when you confront this reality. The Buddha always explained, if you don't understand his teaching, you will become afflicted. You will become miserable. You will suffer. That's why this is called a noble truth of suffering, prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere, the Buddha said, in the midst of life and nature. When you confront this reality without understanding, and this reality is common to all humanity, not only unique to you. That's why in this world, you are not the only person who has experienced death or death of a loved one. Every living being has to. The only difference is when it happens, are you ready to develop the understanding to accept the reality and move on? That's why the Buddha asks us to contemplate in the daily life, every day, the 5 daily contemplation. The first 4 contemplation is to develop the clear understanding of the first noble truth reality that can bring about suffering. The first 3 contemplation, if you may recall, is also in the chanting book. The Buddha always say you have to reflect and contemplate that this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick, and what? And die. Why? Because it is not you. It is made of element. Element, the 4 element, earth element, water element, wind element, and heat element, they go the way of nature. That's why you cannot stop all these things. It follows nature's law. So when condition is such, it will arise what is to be developed. So as you live life long enough, you will go through aging, decay. That's why everything has its phase of life. When a boy or a kid is born or a fetus is born, then it has the growth phase. Then after the growth phase, you will decay. Then after you decay, finally you will experience death. Then in between, when condition is not appropriate, disease, sickness, injury can arise. So these are reality of this form. So this first 3 reflection is to allow you to develop the wisdom not to attach, not to cling, not to be deluded by this physical body which was never you, because it's only element, no knowing. How can it be you? And it goes the way of nature. So the wisdom born of this contemplation is to understand that this physical body is karmically conditioned out for us to use, like a car, take us around. Except it also has the senses, the 5 physical senses, to allow us to experience consciousness, the aggregates of mind, to experience the world of sight and sound, the world of smell, sense, taste, tactile, and thought process. So when you understand this reality, you contemplate deep into it, then you are not deluded by it, then you can accept this reality. Then there is no more attachment, no more delusion. But when you don't have this understanding, for most people who don't have this Dhamma, they will be afflicted, because no matter what you tell them, they will grieve. They say, this is my spouse. If it don't happen to you, you can say, yeah, not so real. Don't attach. Accept the reality. But when it happened to you, they will tell you, you go and find out for yourself. Are you able to remain peaceful, calm, and have that reality clearly understood? And then your mind can be still, at peace, happy. Then life move on. Because the key thing is, the reality has already happened. That's why the Buddha called it the reality of birth and death, reality of life and existence. Means what? Death has occurred. You like it or not, this person already passed away. That is the reality. And you go against what is, which is the reality, you will have suffering. You will have misery. You will be afflicted. This is the noble truth. That's why attachment, craving, grasping, going through your thought, lead to mental suffering. So the Buddha said, in short, the final summary, it is due to your self-delusion, the condition you to attach and cling on to this five aggregate of form and mind that I call dukkha or suffering. Now we put it into test. We apply this teaching. Which are the five aggregate that you attach to that lead to mental suffering? Huh? Take for example, the brother-in-law passed away. Which aggregate you attach to? Huh? Which aggregate? Of course, through seeing consciousness, you perceive that form, is that? So it's the mental form. The first aggregate you attach to is that physical form of that person you call brother-in-law. Yeah? Mental form. Mental and physical form. Physical form. So this is the first aggregate. Correct or not? Yeah? True or not? First aggregate of the five aggregate of form and mind. You attach to this form thinking that it belongs to you, your spouse, or your brother-in-law, or your mother, or your sister, your brother, your good friend, or whoever whom you have affection for. Yeah. So attachment to the first aggregate of form, physical form or mental form, leads to suffering. Then when you attach to your feeling, your emotion, you will also suffer. This is the second aggregate of mind. Feeling means what? Because of your attachment, you become unhappy, sorrowful. So this is the aggregate that make you miserable. Then you continue to allow the thought to create more and more suffering, you will enter depression. Because you will continue to think and become more and more unhappy. That's why suffering is defined as not only mental suffering, no, leading to sorrow, lamentation, and grief. You know what are these three words, is that? Yeah? You experienced before, no? Sorrow, lamentation, eh? Last one is what? Oh. This can really make you miserable and kill you. Spiritually, your mental suffering is so severe. That's why it leads to suicidal thought, depression. They lock themselves up. They are so attached. They cannot accept the reality. How can my spouse who has been with me for so long just die like that? You remember Lee Kuan Yew? Actually, he deteriorated his health after the wife passed away. He and the wife were together for so long, and they had so many things in common. And the wife helped him so much in his life, in his career, and shared so much of this aspect of life with him. Yeah. Same, huh? Yeah, the moment the spouse passed away, many are afflicted. Initially, my mother also, I was observing her. I was also, in a way, concerned that she might develop the attachment because she was very close to my father. But luckily, I talked to her, I spoke to her, and make her feel very good. I said, Dad has done his duty very well. He has provided for us. He has sacrificed for us. He has done everything that he can do for us. He not only give us food, shelter, clothing, education. He also take care of the family. A very responsible father. A very responsible head of the family. Then he also went back to China to help the brothers, their family. Then my mother's side, of course, my mother helped. Then there are many things that he wants to do in life. He get to do them. And he is a Chinese medical shop owner. He help a lot of people, sick people. He is a sensei. My father actually heal many people, help many people because he actually sell them Chinese medicine and help them recover. Yes, the power. That's why your heartbeat also same. When the power source switch off, you know what is the power force source or not? Your karmic force suddenly switch off. Cannot speak. Dead. And now connect back. But karmic force cannot let that connect back. The doctor say within how long? If the heartbeat don't come back, you either become a vegetable or you are pronounced dead. So luckily, this one is microphone. Where was I? What was I supposed to explain? Oh, my father. Yeah. So after I explained to my mother, she starts to understand. Then she at first told me, is that without that, is it without him, life is so different. And he like, the last time there is somebody to talk to, then my father always tell her a lot of things, although at times nag her and ask her to do all the things that my father don't want to do. You know what are those things? Like he want to tell the children, the sibling, what they're supposed to do. He will ask my mother to do that. So even the grandchildren, my mother when he come down, my son always experience this. Well, my mother is his grandmother. He always asks him, he said, "You so like you have grown up already. You should have a wife." He said, "Keep on harassing him to get married." Then, because I explained to my son about how old people have that intention, so he always smiled to her and said, "Popo, if got good girl who want me, no problem, I get married." Then, every time he saw my son got girlfriend come back, he said, "Why so stupid?" He said, "Can bring back how some more cannot tap." Look at her. I said, nowadays society not like last time, whole hand must marry already. So now you can pass the night over also, no need to get married. It's different. My mother cannot understand. There are a lot of things that my dad want to do, like want to tell my brothers, they all over. He will ask my mother to do it. Then I told my mother, now it's good, isn't it? You don't have to do all those things, isn't it? Oh, he said, yeah. So now, in order to keep you occupied, I suggest to you this way. I said, you are so blessed. You got six boys, three girls. Why not you take turns, stay with them? Not 1 month here, 1 month there. No. 1 week got 7 days. I said, you choose which one you want to go. So Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, he will go. One. My eldest brother first, Then he spend a night or two, then he go to the second one, then go to the third one, then go Penang, the fourth one. Then sometimes come down to my place, go to my sister's place. She make herself occupied. Then she got all the grandchildren and all those things. So that actually kept her going. And there was so much joy because I told her, I said, you should have good life because we all grown up, we all very successful. Then my brother and sister, we take turn to bring her out to see her old friend because she keep on telling us, if he don't meet up with a friend, he doesn't know what is happening to them. Yeah, later on, he lived on for another almost 9 to 10 years after my father passed away. She passed away at the age of 89. But she was a very happy person. She get to fulfill many, many things. And she even finally told me, he said, you are right, he said, when her time come, follow Buddhist way. No need to burn all those people houses and all those follow the Chinese tradition. She finally accepted it. About 2 weeks after my father passed away, I explained to her. She understood. Then she said, go the Buddhist way. Then she spent much of her time with me to look after my two kids. And he liked my two kids. That's why you must actually feel for them. Be sensitive towards their feeling and life situation after their spouse passed away. Otherwise, like what Ching Gap said, it's very true. I've seen many. Even you see your weakness, Lee Kuan Yew, deteriorate the health. So when death occurs, it's not just Dhamma, let go, don't attach. This one, those who don't understand, they will say rather, that reminds me. Next Friday, Klang, there's a Friday talk. And the title of the topic, you know what is it, right? Brother Tino. Letting go in cultivation someone. Wa kao la. How can you let go? Understand? Let go is a myth. Sound very logical, understand? Let go la. Otherwise you suffer. Logical or not? Yeah? Very logical. If I don't let go, I hope I suffer there. Not only that, talk easy, do difficult, is not so bad. That happen is because you don't understand. Easy to say than to do is because who hold? Huh? The deluded one hold, correct or not? And when you are deluded, without the Dhamma you hold, and you practice what? Letting go. What are you going to do? You say, I forgive you lah. Okay, I forgive you. But inside, still not happy. Have you forgiven lah? Let go lah, don't attach. Okay lah. Make me miserable, make me suffer. I don't want to think about it lah. You go and sleep. See whether you can sleep. You cannot. Understand? So you cannot practice letting go. Who practice letting go? The one that has delusion, still got attachment, want to practice letting go. Like you practice vipassana. Can vipassana be practiced? Yeah? I ask you a very simple question. Can you practice vipassana? Yeah? What is vipassana? It's to insight into the characteristic of nature there. How can you practice to insight into the characteristic of nature? You have to meditate to insight into the characteristic of nature. Right? You have to be silent, aware, to awaken. You cannot practice. Practice means what? Doing something, understand? Which is thought-based. Who practice? The thought practice. The thought note. The thought do vipassana. Then you come up with method, technique, and all this to do. But the real meditation or cultivation is without thought, just sati, aware, mindful. Then it will awaken because it's an awakening. When you awaken, it's the direct seeing without thought. Then when you awaken to the characteristics of nature, that awakening is not a knowledge. That is Panya, wisdom, understanding is not rigid. The understanding liberates the mind. So when you already awaken, have the wisdom, what will happen? You are not deluded by the phenomenal world, karana, where you understand their characteristics of impermanent leading to suffering. So you will not grasp, you will not cling, you will not hold. Then have you got to let go? You don't have to let go, is it? That's why the moment you understand you are free, you are not holding, then why is there a need to practice letting go? When you are incapable of holding because you are not deluded, you don't let go. You don't practice letting go. You only have to practice because you are still holding. And the practice is the thought. How can it free? That's why I say it's a myth. It appears logical, gullible. But you cannot do it this way because it will not free you. So, don't ever fall for that mistake. So when it comes to confronting this reality, the other part that I need to explain is, five, still got time. A lot of people who are superstitious, especially Chinese, like what the niece told PG, I think something wrong with our house. Very sui. That's why brother-in-law died, mother died, then next year, the elder brother died. So what happened? Then later on, they make it more convincing. They say, the other two sisters hear voices. Oh, then you go, oh, really, I got that dirty thing. So what happened? You go and invite Bobo, or you go and invite the medium, or feng shui people come and see. What happened? They charge you money. They advise you to do this, do that, all this, ta chai and do all those things, then the bill come. Then you feel good. You thought you have done away. But still, the karma, which is the real one, continue to haunt you. Then what happened? You decided to abandon the house. You sell the house cheap. Why? Because you think it's haunted, the seller. People do all these things to foolishness, to delusion. But the real underlying nature's law that governs all this is what? Yeah? What is it? Law of karma, anasana. That's why the Buddha's teaching is very unique. You take care of karma, karma take care of your life. But death is not something that you can avoid. Each and every living being has to experience it sooner or later. Even before you die, you have to witness death, which is prevalent everywhere. Even our university mate, quite a number has passed away. Yeah? And we are only average 60 to 62. Yeah? Of course, some who repeat and study longer on the one maybe older, 63, 64. But this is still below the average mortality rate of a Malaysian male or female. You understand that? That's why there is a bell curve, normal distribution. You know what is a bell curve, normal distribution? The bulk of it will fall within that mortality rate, the what they call 95% confidence interval. Then there is this exceptional one, the 5% out of the normal. That one sometimes they can die quite early. Then some exceptionally old one can live until very old. So when we were in our second year, there was one classmate, Do Ji Yam from Pulau Intan. He passed away. Because of, they say amoeba attack, I don't know. I really cannot understand. He just got stomach ache or what. Then there was another classmate who passed away recently. I got another classmate, Chong Ling, the president, gave a speech up there. Then after that, this classmate also from Chong Ling, put up the hand and want to say a few words. He went up the stage. After he finished the speech, he come down. Before he sat on the chair, heart attack, he just died like that. So, condition can happen any time. Then there are many incidents. Then recently, I think, was it last month? The Alastair, Tingui. Chinese New Year, I think. Cheng Wing, sorry, Cheng Wing. He came back from Singapore for Cheng Wing. Then, don't know what happened though. They can't find him. Actually, he died in the room. They also suspect heart attack. So, all this can happen, and they are not really that old, about 61, 62. So this reality of life and existence, you must understand, it can happen at any time. So it's nothing to do with feng shui and all those things, understand? It doesn't mean that you got good feng shui, nobody will die in your house. You remember during the Buddha's time, there was one Jataka story, Kisa Gotama, Gotami is it? Yeah, during the Buddha's time, yeah, not Jataka story, yeah, rather they know. There is this lady, I think the son, the only child passed away. She was full of grief and sorrow. That she just like completely in very severe sorrow and grief. Until she was walking naked in the street, no? Holding on to the dead only child. Then what happened was, he arrived at the place where the Buddha was, I think, giving a Dhamma talk. Yeah, you better tell the story. You have more memory. I don't have that memory. Yeah, you use the mic, Brother. Thank you. Yeah, come.
Okay, I think the important point is this. Probably at that time, being a lady and you're married to a husband, so if you don't produce a son, then the husband will get another wife to produce the son. So that is the losing point. So because her only child was a son, and fearing also that the husband, you know, if go and marry another one, so she tend to lose all in having a share of the properties and the wealth, all those. So when the son passed away, right, she, because of that obsession and the fear, all those, so she sort of said that the son is sleeping. And went about asking people for medicine, you know, and people say that your son is already dead. But she said, no, he's just sleeping and he's sick, so can you please give me medicine? So she went from one person to another, and when people look at her, she just refused to accept the fact that her son had died. Then she met a person, knowing her condition already, and that person said that, oh, you go to this monastery, there's the a man, a Buddha, maybe he can help you, he has a medicine like that. And she went to the monastery. At the time, the Buddha was giving a Dhamma talk to the monks. So as she went in, and she asked the Buddha, saying that, please give medicine. My son is sick. He presently is asleep. But of course, the Buddha knew. And therefore, the Buddha did not say that, no, your son is dead, cannot be revived anymore. But the Buddha said that, yes, your son can be cured when you can find mustard seeds from a house, and not only that from a house, but in that house where you get a mustard seed, that house must not have experienced death. So it gave her the hope, and therefore she started with the baby, with the corpse in her hand from one house to another. And the first house she went, and the people said that, oh, my grandfather just passed away 3 months ago or something like that. Then she went again to the next house. The occupant said, we have master seat now, you take. And she asked, was there any death in the house before? Oh, yes, our uncle, you know, just passed away 1 week ago or something like that. And from one house to another, each time she asked for master seat, she was given master seat. But always the occupant will say that there was a death, whether, you know, it is just very short time ago or maybe 1 or 2 years ago. And through this house to house that she went to, the impact of the message of death was everywhere. Eventually, she accepted it. And so she went and buried her late son in the cemetery. Having realized it, and she went back to the Buddha and said that, you have taught me a lesson. And from there, she recovered from her sort of insanity. And that's why that she was so attached to the son and a lot of fear and all those things, refusing to accept the fact that her son was already dead. And through this repeated imprint into the message into her mind, she began to accept that death is universal. And she recovered and now buried the son. Eventually, she renounced and became an arahant.
Immediately become a sotapan first. Thank you so much. That is the more detailed one. Because I heard only from Suwano. I never read from book. Suwano told me about that story. Then she actually was so sorrowful, so full of sorrow, grief, and lamentation. But the earlier history, maybe Brother T knew, because it's from the book. So what happened was, after she was advised to see the Buddha actually very wise, knew that under that condition, you cannot counsel her. Understand not? That's why I say no condition, you don't try to share, or don't try to keep bold, understand not? Ayo, first noble true reality lah, death is a reality, you tell her that, I tell you, you finish, you wouldn't help out. Because situation is such, there is no condition. When there is no condition to help, you don't stick your head out and try to be smart. No point, understand? That's why you wait for appropriate condition. Then for the Buddha, because he is so wise, he knew under such mind state, no amount of advice or counsel or Dhamma can help her. So in order to make her understand that this is the reality of life and existence, he actually sent him to all the houses to collect master seed from a family. Yeah? Not from a house, no. From a family that has not experienced death. You understand that word? A family that has not experienced death. Where got family don't experience death on? If your grandparent don't die, your great-great-grandparent sure die, understand? Or your great-great-grandparent must die. So, which family don't have death? Definitely, every family has death. That's why Kesa Gotami, he went round house to house. Then as every family continuously tell her, yeah, we have many deaths. Our great-great-grandfather died, then our grandfather died, then who died, who died, who died. And it's so common during the early day, die at birth or premature death, because medical science were not so advanced. So because of that, Gotami suddenly realized that she is not the only person in this world experiencing death. This is a universal reality that can happen to anyone, anytime. And every family will have to experience them. That's why when she accepted that reality, she realized the sorrow, the lamentation, the attachment to this wrong view no more. That's why she regained her calmness, her peacefulness. Then when she was in a position to become peaceful, quiet, silent, when he went back to the Buddha knew the condition was there. I forgot the real thing. I remember Suvarno said, the Buddha just said a few words to her, and she became a Sotaban. Then she requests for ordination, to enter the order and finally become a Arahant. So you want to become enlightened? Go through sorrow, then go and meet someone wise. But not everybody has to go through life that way, understand? So condition is very important. When you see condition, then only you act, means you have Dhamma. When there is no condition, also you want to kepo and act, cannot. You will bump into problem. Then when you try to insist that your Dhamma can really work and help, you will get into trouble too, because you don't understand condition. That's what Dhamma is about. Understanding. So when you don't have clarity of mind, understanding, you cannot penetrate the Noble Truth. It's very difficult for you to help fellow living beings, where you yourself cannot free. How can you help to free others? Like the Buddha mentioned under Salika Sutta, is that if you yourself are trapped in the Komaya, not able to come out of it, how can you liberate or save somebody who is also trapped in the Komaya? So you have to free yourself. Then only you understand how to help and free people. So all this is part and parcel of the Dhamma, of the teaching that the Buddha has passed down. So this particular case that PG has brought out is very, very relevant to life. And sometimes not only death, it can be other realities within the First Noble Truth. Just now, the attachment I haven't finished. We only finished two. The third one is what? You attach to your? What is the next aggregate? Perception, is that? What is perception? Sanya. Through your memory, you perceive. That's why you recall your loved one. When you attach to that, this feeling and emotion will stir. If it's somebody else, loved one, not related to you, pass away, you are not really affected. But if it's somebody related to you, that's why through perception, if you attach to what you perceive, even you attach to your race, your country, your school, or whatever you hold on to dearly, your views, your opinion, you will suffer. And that one is the fourth aggregate, sankhara, or mental activity. This one involves your views, your opinion of things. Sankhara, or mental activity, which is your thought process. Then your mental states, and all those things that your mind can do. Then when you attach to consciousness, things that you become conscious of, like your conscious thinking, when you cling and hold and grasp, it will cause you more suffering. Then your seeing consciousness, your hearing consciousness, your tactile, smell, taste, thought, consciousness. All this, the moment you cling and hold, you will become afflicted. Because all this consciousness, when they arise, the universal, the seven universal, what they call within the content of consciousness, they will be there. And all these are part of the universal feeling, perception, sankhara, activity of mind. They are all there. where these are the container of consciousness. This is the receptacle. This one holds all this. Then the external form enters the mind through perception too. That's why this is the one that brings in the external form. External form. Through perception, the external form enters the mind. So, the final summary is, you attach to any of this aggregate, suffering will arise. Sorrow and lamentation, unhappy feeling will arise. And this is what dukkha is all about. Not able to get what one desire. When things don't go your way, you suffer. When there is separation, because you have attachment, again you suffer. It can be your loved one you possess. That's why the fourth contemplation, whatever that you think you own, that you think belong to you, your loved one, your possession, your wealth, your money, your property, even whatever that you hold on to dearly, your reputation, your title and all those things. Because they are all conditions arising, dependent originating. When conditions cease to be, it ceases to be. So they will either separate from you when conditions cease to be, or when your breath stops, you also lose your identity and you cannot own anything. So either way, they will separate from you. So separation from your loved one and prized possession, things that you hold on to dearly, when it occurs, suffering will arise, like during sudden death, or separation through divorce, relationship failure, or nature's disaster, or even economic crisis, when you make a wrong decision, a wrong call in your business and investment decision, then your whole of your so-called business or savings, investment, they can just be wiped off during economic crisis. And sometimes nature's disaster like fire, flood, they can actually wipe off your possession, your loved one. But nowadays, human beings become more smart. They buy insurance. They insured against all these losses. Then there are insurance company who wants to make money through, give you that insurance protection because they have this actuarial science to do the calculation for them so that the premium they charge you, they know they will make money. The probability of losing is very low. So these are the things that you will experience as you go through life. Then the Dhamma, when you understand, can be very, very useful. And it can help you in many, many ways. And like the Buddha said, suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and now is possible when you understand his teaching, when you really put it into cultivation, when you really put it into practice, when you develop the appropriate wisdom. Then this wisdom or understanding liberates your mind. Nothing else free you except wisdom, always remember. Okay? Yeah. Oh, almost 10:30, we should end, Okay, so thank you, Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits, Then you make your aspiration. Maybe the English translation you already know, We just chant the Pali. Sharing of merits with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tang anamoditva chirang rakantu lokasasana itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan Sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya Idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idang menyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya sadu sadu sadu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the worthy ones.
Our gratitude to Mr. E.G. also for catching Friday and Thursday.